What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town. I'm your host, Chainman V, and joining me as always is Trump. What's going on, Trump?
Hola.
Hola. And we got our guest, Raynad, who hasn't been on the show for, I don't know, when's the last time you were on the show, Andre? Maybe a couple months ago
Something like that.
All right, cool. I know a lot of people are talking about Tides being on. Tides was going to jump on here in case we couldn't get a hold of Andre here, because he was taking a shower, apparently. We didn't realize it. So we'll have Tides on. Yeah, we'll have Tides on again sometime soon, for sure. But today, guys, got lots of NaxxRamas to talk about. Obviously, it came out it came out 2 days ago. So lots to talk about, at least with the Arachnid Quarter. And that's pretty much what this is all going to be about. We're going to do kind of an old-school Value Town where we go through the cards. And we've gone through a lot of the class cards kind of one by one over the last, 10 weeks or so. But I figured we'd just kind of do a summary again. So there might be a little bit of re-talking about some cards. But now that we've built some decks with NaxxRamas cards, it might change some of our opinions on it. So we'll do that. And we'll get a chance to do it with Raynad, too. But let's start off by just getting your initial reactions or, just your opinions on NaxxRamas. Trump?
Initial reaction is positive. So the adventure was harder than I expected, which is good, because that meant that it was the heroic part actually lived up to being challenging to some extent, and you actually had to build deck building experience and abusing the bosses to actually beat it, and you just couldn't go with the standard thing most of the time. The cards themselves, some of them have made a big impact on the metagame already, and they will continue to do so. And it's already changing other decks without directly nerfing them. So, goal kind of successful.
Okay, Reyna, what's your opinion?
I'm pretty happy with it. The adventure mode is pretty fun, and it's kind of a cool way to introduce new cards. Mm-hmm. Heroic bosses were definitely harder than I thought they'd be.
They cheat so bad. It's crazy.
Yeah, but I like a lot of the cards that you get to play with. Like the Rogue Challenge with Echoing Ooze is really fun. Yeah, I think it was pretty well done.
Mm-hmm. What classes did y'all use to beat Myxna on Heroic?
Myxna, it's the spider one, right?
Yeah, the last one.
Which
ones did you use for the three of them? I guess I just might as well ask about all the bosses.
For the one that wants you to have a small hand size, I used Zoo, and then the other, what was the other boss's thing? He makes creatures. Yeah, the one that makes creatures with the hero power, I did Miracle Rogue.
Oh, wow.
And then Freeze Mage for my Exna.
Trump, how about you?
I did a similar path, Freeze Mage, and then Zoo, and then Freeze Mage.
Oh, okay, great. I did Zoo, and then I actually did Hunter at the end, believe it or not. Barely pulled it off. I didn't win with the kind of recycling of Alex and that sort of thing. I must have gotten lucky because I ended up winning with Hunter. But lots of different ways. That's what the cool thing about it, right? Like, you can figure out lots of different decks and just strategies to beating the boss. But those zero hero powers, removing two guys, man, that's pretty sick. If it wasn't auto hero power in the beginning of each turn, oh my god, it'd be so much harder if there was just a little bit more AI to it.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's see. In terms of, I guess just the difficulty, I mean, is it about right for you guys? Or do you think it should be a little bit harder? Because some people actually I've heard thought it was too easy.
Personally, I'd like it to be harder. I always like it to be harder. I like to spend a bunch of time on bosses and stuff. And the whole thing took probably less than an hour between normal and heroic mode.
Yeah.
But it's not even that it necessarily needs to be harder. I would just like it to be longer, or for there to be more of it, I guess. That's another way they could go.
Yeah. Trump?
Yeah, I guess my sentiments are shared. It's tough to make it much harder than it actually is, I'd say. So, I think it's at the right place. And, yeah, more stuff is always cooler. But if they had, released the entire set in 1 week, then that would be a lot of content also. So I support the way that they're doing it.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, are are taking this initial release, you know, of just the Arachne Quarter as the entire expansion type of release. So they're thinking like, oh, this is so short. I finished it in an hour or two. But the thing is that there's four more, right? So you kind of have to look at it just more of as a piece type of thing, more so than the entire expansion. But okay, let's talk a little bit about. So you mentioned a little bit, Trump, about meta just being affected, and we'll get into, I guess, the kind of decks that we've been building as we discuss the cards. But generally speaking, have you seen any kind of crazy new things pop up, or just have you seen mostly just enhancements to things that are out there?
I think on this week particularly, since there are two class cards. I mean, there's a total of six cards, which isn't that many.
Yeah.
Two of them are the Poison Seeds, which is actually not very good at the moment because the set was mostly, I guess, aggro-enhanced. Not necessarily aggro-enhanced as much as it released cards which you don't really want to Poison Seeds. And let's see, the Rogue one, it's in an interesting place. I actually started a free-to-play run deck for Rogue because that card was released. I think it's a solid spot. It makes a control Rogue possibly viable. The other cards, two out of four extremely strong. You're seeing in many decks, Nurbian Egg and Haunted Creeper, and even the Nubar Weblord has some possibilities. Mm-hmm. And the last one, I forgot what the card was.
It's with Maxna, I think.
Maxna. That card sucks.
That card just sucks outright.
But yeah, those two cost cards, I mean, even the third one, shake things up quite a bit just because they are so anti-AoE, so the aggro decks can get their time in the sun for now.
Yeah, Raynaud, any cool things pop up, or maybe even something that you came up that's completely different?
I agree with Trump mostly. Most of the cards right now are like 2-mana Harvest Golems, which I've been... honestly, that alone just changes how so many classes play out. I'm just trying stuff out right now. Mm-hmm. In terms of crazy out there stuff, I have some ideas, but I haven't got a chance to play with it or stream it yet. Mostly I've been trying to go for rank one a lot. So I'm like tryharding with like very few decks. But yeah, it's right now the pattern I'm noticing is first it was a lot of Zoo, then it was a lot of Druid, and personally I really like Shaman right now. I don't know, I can't really say what the best deck is. After Wing 4, I know it's Zoo. After Wing 1, it's pretty balanced, honestly. All the classes are pretty good. Miracle Rogue is probably still a little too good, but you still see a good variety of stuff.
Okay. Any of these cards actually enhance Miracle?
Nope.
I don't think so.
They actually made them worse. They made Miracle.
Yeah, right? And they're still too good.
Like putting good cards for the 1/4 fighter.
Yeah,
and
right.
Playing that on purpose. And so the deck is like 28 playables and 2 spiders, and it's still winning more than anything else. Because people are playing a variety of like... just people are trying stuff out, right? So not everyone's deck is very polished. So Miracle Rogue is just cleaning up on all of these like unpolished decks.
Yeah. Oh, looks like we lost Trump here. Hopefully he'll be back. We'll see. But yeah, you know, it's funny about the 1/4, right? The Weblord. It kind of started dawning on me, and we'll probably talk a little bit about it, that I was like, oh yes, it could be good against, you know, it could be good against druids and maybe even rogues, right, with Miracle. But then I realized, wait, the combo keyword and those option keywords don't have battle cries, so it's like, oh man, didn't quite work out that way.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about it is that it's a 2-mana 1/4, which is like, those are fantastic stats.
True.
But you really want to buff it with like battle cries, which it kind of punishes. It'd probably be better as just like a 1/4 vanilla creature. Mm-hmm. The only 1/4s in the game that have ever existed are Armorsmith and Lorewalker's Show before they nerfed it. It's like, it's interesting. I don't know. It's like, it's a good size, good stats, but the ability is pretty useless in my opinion.
Yeah, the ability I thought it had potential, but then I realized that, it's not quite as effective as possible. But it works well. It works well in at least some classes like Shaman. You were mentioning Shaman, too. I think Shaman's a lot better now, too, with these cards. Yeah, an additional Harvest Column by itself, I think, makes Shaman really, really good. So, good stuff. And we're trying to get Trump back on here, guys. I'm not sure what happened. It looks like Skype must have just cut out on him. Who knows what happens there, but any other thoughts on Naxxramas in the meantime? Any
No, it's fun to play with this stuff right now. I'm excited to experiment more once all the cards are out, because then there's more synergies to work with.
Yeah.
So it started off as just Zoo cleaning up. Like, as soon as I was done with the adventure, I went into ranked mode.
Yeah.
I climbed up to rank 2, and then I started playing nothing but mirror matches and Ancient of War. And then and I was not winning so much anymore. We'll see if the pattern continues.
Exactly. Crazy. Hey, Trump.
Hey.
I was just there for a sec. But we're going to wait. We're just killing time here until you got back. But why don't we just jump in the cards? Because we got a lot of cards to discuss. And we might as well just talk some more about decks while we do that. So we're going to hop into our kind of old segment format, you know, where we show cards. And we're going to start from the bottom. We're going to kind of ascend kind of mana-wise. So the class cards will just be dispersed throughout. But let's start off with Avenge, guys. So the Paladin card. Any new thoughts on this card, Trump?
Same as always. I think it was commonly referred to as the worst card in class cards, but I disagree. I think it has its possibilities in an aggro paladin deck, and will actually be a staple in that one. Yeah. Staple meaning that it'll be run in all the aggro paladin cards decks.
Reyna?
Yeah, I think it's... At first, I was really upset, because Paladin is, like, one of my favorite classes. I wanted a nice 2-drop so I can put it into my mid-range and control Paladin decks. And then they printed this secret that's only really good in the aggro one. But to be fair, it's, like, really good in the aggro one. I think it's definitely a lot better than, like, the Mage and the Shaman card in Nexramus. It's definitely a strong card, because you can't... It's like a death rattle that you can't really interact with, because they have the secret down, and it's not like you can silence it off. You have to kill their creature, and then that'll probably make your second creature unkillable that turn.
Yeah.
Especially if you play it early. So I think it's pretty interesting. It's, like, really powerful if you draw it early, because it's just, yeah, it makes killing creatures really ineffective.
It could be interesting with even another Nax card, which is going to be Mad Scientist, you know, where that throws a secret on. I wonder if it happens, like, does the Mad Scientist hit the board before the secret hits? Because... Or the secret has to actually trigger before it actually, you know, upgrades that. But, you know, Mad Scientist could help quite a bit. Maybe make for more Paladin secret-based decks. That'd be kind of cool. Okay, that's Avenge. Let's go to the next one. Let's see. Next one is Undertaker.
Yeah, that card is insane. At first, I thought it probably wouldn't fit into Zoo. Like, Zoo really wants a 2-health 1-drop that can deal at least 2 damage.
Yeah.
So at first I thought it would be unplayable because you don't want to play cards like Loot Hoarder in your Zoo deck in order to enable it. But then they printed just a pile of phenomenal Death Rattle cards that you're going to play in Zoo anyway.
Yeah.
So Undertaker is like one of the major reasons I think the deck will be unstoppable after the fourth wing. Yeah, because you just... Oh, man. It's really, really powerful in that deck. Like, if you even buff it once, it's a 1-mana 2/3, which is already, like, better than Flame Imp. So I think it's fantastic.
Well, that's Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, the card is extremely, extremely strong. And cards like this, along with the other 2 cards released this week, are going to make Zoo very strong. Though I wouldn't call it unstoppable.
Okay, well, let's see. Next one up is we got Web Spinner.
Nah, that card's really strong. I'm excited to play it in mid-range Hunter. Mm-hmm. Eventually they'll print enough good cards for Hunter that I don't have to play River Crocolisk anymore. That'll be a sad day, but yeah. Spinner's cool. I think it's clearly a powerful card. I think it's probably like the 3rd best card out of all the Nexramus class cards. It's it's solid. It looks like it's fun to play with too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't start with this as being the classes, you know, like they started with Druid and Rogue, but this is a spider. This should have totally been in the Arachnid quarter, right?
Yeah. I'm surprised also.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised at Reyna's bullishness about this card. Like, I happen to be one of the people who also thinks it's pretty good, but most of the, there's a lot of comments that this card kind of sucks, actually, even in the case of a beast-focused Hunter deck, but I disagree, and Reyna clearly does too. I think it's just a nice add-in. It's like almost an automatic addition to anything with Beast Synergy.
Yep.
Yep. Let's see. Next up, we got Zombie Chow.
Yeah. Holy crap! I did not I was all Zoo needed is one drop. I was so excited when I saw enough Death Rattle guys for Undertaker, and then I saw Zombie Chow, and my mind was like blown. You get a 1-mana 3/4 and a 1-mana 2/3. Like, holy crap! Zombie Chow was great in Zoo. That was really, really good. The Death Rattle is probably better than even if it was a vanilla 2/3 because it buffs Undertaker sometimes, and their life total is completely irrelevant.
It's because it's insane. If return or turn one, yeah, that's like 2/3, 2/3 with the Undertaker. That's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, I think eventually. I mean, I might be wrong about this, but I think eventually we'll see a nerf to Warlock Hero Power, or at least we should, because the more cards that get released, the stronger. Like, the higher card quality the average card in your deck is. Mm-hmm. So the Warlock Hero Power is the only one that scales upwards with more cards being released, whereas all the other Hero Powers get worse. Because when there's more cards, people play more efficient cards, and the games speed up. And it always happens in every Magic format. The more cards there are, the more the format speeds up. And the more it speeds up, the less time you have to do things like Druid Hero Power. And nothing dies in Naxxramas to Hero Powers anymore anyway. So I think that, like, yeah, Zombie Chow, man, I don't know. Warlock's going to be pretty gross. There might be so much Warlock at first that people just play the straight counter deck, and that deck might be able to beat it, but eventually it'll balance out, and Zoo will just be so strong that even if it's not winning more than every other deck, it's warping the metagame around it because of cards like Zombie Chow. Like, that card is really good.
Yeah, it seems like it is going to be pretty insane. Even counter decks are going to be possibly harder to make, given that the resilience of some, like a 2/3 is much more resilient than 3/2, obviously, right? So it's going to be even harder. Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, this card is incredible. As someone who worries more about board control than life totals, then, like, it's just incredible. 1-mana 2/3. You play it early on, and the Death Rattle doesn't even matter.
Death Rattle.
Not much to say other than the stats are really good. It's not going to be a great top deck for what it's worth, though. But perhaps it's still good enough.
Yeah. Okay, next up is the Echoing Ooze, which I think has the coolest animation, at least in Naxxramas, maybe even in the game. I think the Ooze looks really, really cool in how it, you know, ends up popping or copying itself and then popping and that sort of thing. What do you think of this card, Trump? I'll let you lead off with this one.
It was one of the coolest cards in the set, I'd say. A lot of people I've talked to have said this is the card they look forward to the most. By itself, it's even efficient, even if you don't do anything with it. Since you play a 2-mana, you get 2/1/2s. That's fair. Mm-hmm. But what's even better is you add common buff cards, such as Mark of the Wild on it, and you get 2 Tazdingos for 4 mana, and that is really valuable. And it's not even a bad combo, because the Echoing Ooze by itself is already good. This is one of those cards which actually kind of slows down the meta a bit, which I like because it makes it more control-oriented, since there's a higher amount of health than attack, and you kind of see that theme across all of Naxxramas. And I like the direction that heads. So this card is great. It pushes it more towards a late-game-oriented. It has cool interactions, and it's a good card. And it's a cool card, so hooray.
Raynad?
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. It's one of the most fun cards to play with. Like I mentioned, the Rogue Quarter where you get to play with it, it was really cool. Again, I'm going to say it with pretty much most of the cards in the set, but oh my god, this card is good in Zoo. And yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's like they nerfed Novice Engineer because it was too good as a 2-mana 1/2 that drew you a card, and Echoing Ooze, like worst case scenario, it's a 2-mana 1/2 that draws you a 1/2 Wisp, which is pretty good in aggressive decks and in controlling decks. I think it's pretty awesome, man. It's one of the cards that's going to be the reason we see way more stuff like Defender of Argus. It's so much easier to like play a creature and have it stick for a turn now instead of just getting killed immediately. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to play with it.
Okay, moving on, we've got another card that's that's about keeping minions on the board, and we got the Haunted Creeper, which is one of the cards that was released. Initial thoughts on this, Raynan?
It's really strong. The first time I saw it spoiled, it was a 2-1, which would be... At first, I thought it was better as a 1-2 because health is generally better than attack. But in the case of Haunted Creeper, it would be better as a 2-1 because then they can't just ignore it. Because, at least in high rank constructed, the best strategy against Haunted Creeper that I've seen so far is ignoring it. Like, you just don't try to kill it. You just go for face, kill the other stuff, let it peck away for one, and then make them suicide it into something. But it's still a really powerful card. This is, like, one of the cards that I think makes Shaman a lot stronger than it used to be. And, yeah, it's fantastic. I'm excited to play with it more. I've been putting it into most of my decks so far. It's really strong. It's the 2-mana Harvest Golem.
Yeah. Trump?
Yeah, some of the classes have lacked a good 2-drop. I'm going to note Paladin Control as an example, and I think Haunted Trooper is actually a really good card in that deck. It's a good deck. It's a good card in most control-oriented decks. That includes Zoo, which I consider kind of a board control deck. It doesn't do a lot of damage, and yes, the main answer is to not kill it, but it gets in there for one on one of their minions, and then it creates more guys. And when you do the calculations, like, you can argue it's a 3-4 for 2. Mm-hmm. That's generous, but kind of close enough. I think of it more as like a 2-4 or maybe even a 2-3 for 2. It's somewhere in that range, which makes it good because it's like a 2-3 with upside. So you'll see that in a lot of control decks.
Yeah. There's some downside too to ignoring it, because like, I try to ignore it too, but then you give your opponent the ability to set up plays, like maybe Knife Juggler, right? Like throwing down Knife Juggler and then killing it himself. So it's kind of cool. I was hoping that the spiders that were summoned would be beasts, which would make Hunter really crazy cool. But unfortunately, the spectral spiders are not beasts, so not as much synergy as I was hoping with Hunter.
Yeah, the Knife Juggler interaction is actually bugged right now too.
Because it overkills, right? It overkills stuff. Yeah. That's not intended, right? That can't be intended.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I hope it's not intended. It doesn't make sense in some scenarios. Okay, next up we got Mad Scientist. All right, what you think about this, Reyna?
That card's great. 2-mana 2/2, a ton of upside. It's really powerful. You can even get, like, the fact that he gets really expensive secrets out of Mage is kind of interesting, because it's like more copies of Ice Block if you want. It's a really powerful card. It's much better than it looks at first. It's going to be strong in, I mean, all the classes with secrets it's playable in. Hunter's probably the deck where it's at its worst, I'd say, but I like it a lot in Paladin and Mage, I think. And it's still probably fine in Hunter. I look forward to playing with it, because it's a really interesting card. You can do some cool things with 4 Ice Block.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times with the Mage, or the Freeze Mage, you're just trying to figure out how to fit that 3-mana in, right? A lot of times, just to get the Ice Block, or even the Ice Barrier sometimes. So yeah, this fixes a lot of it. Trump, what do you think?
Okay, well, first of all, I love that they called a card Mad Scientist, and I have to say this much. I am Mad Scientist! Chaos and invade. Anyways, that is really cool, and like, you thought Loot Hoarder was good. You see it in some decks. 2-mana, 2/1 death roll, draw a card. Mad Scientist, even better situationally, because you have a 2-mana 2/2, and you get to develop a 1 or 2 or 3-mana secret with it. And this is kind of, it has synergy with like a different type of deck, so it's really cool.
Alright, next up, Weblord, which is another one of the cards that's released right now. What you guys think of this, Trump?
Which one?
The Weblord? The Weblord. Nurubar Weblord?
Yeah, this is one of those cards which is going to be good against... It's... Okay, 2-mana 1/4 by itself is not that great. It's okay. However, that ability really aims at certain decks. I think Zoo is one of the targets also. So if you see a lot of a certain Battlecry, you might start seeing this more.
Okay, Reyna?
I think this particular one is one of the few like really, really weak cards in the set. This and the 2/6 Spite in this wing are the two cards I don't really consider playable. The decks that have like the most battle cries that you're trying to interact with are decks like Zoo, but they're also the decks that play a 2-power creature on turn 1 and then just kill it in one hit. So I think that I don't really know why the rogues are playing it. I think it's pretty underwhelming, but There could be a metagame where it becomes really good. I don't know. Usually, though, I don't think it's worth using a card to make a 1/4. That's just not going to really have an impact on the game, in my opinion. But it's yeah, it's interesting. Like, the stats aren't bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those cards which you're aiming at a specific deck. Like, if this were out when Miracle was in full force, it gets rid of their Earthen Ring Farseer and their Drake. And I think it's got potential in that kind of set as well. It's one of those things where you have to see how much Battlecry is out there and whether or not your deck has Battlecry, and you might not want to consider playing it.
Okay, let's see. Next up, we got Nerubian Egg. Okay, well, obviously this is a card that I think a lot of people have been using. But, Trump, what do you think of it? Now that you've used it.
Nerubian Egg is insane! I'm not insane. Sure how this got past QA. Like, we've been... Well, not just game testing in general. It would seem to me that... Like, everyone knew this card was going to be good, pretty much. And it turns out that it is really good. Even if you want to try to silence it, they get a 0/2, you get like a 2/1 and an owl. And it's like, oh, that's not even that good. This card has really vaulted Zoo up in power, as well as any other deck which can buff an egg. You get a 2-mana 4/4, and not only that, it's kind of debatably a 2-mana 4/6, because if you're using a buff to use the egg, then you can actually utilize the egg itself to do something, like maybe it kills a guy, and then you get a 4/4. So that's even better. So this card is really, really good, and I think it might be played even if you only summoned a 3/3 Nerubian.
Yeah, I think so too. Raynan.
Yeah, I think it's pretty nuts. I might get slightly nerfed in the future. We'll see. It's really powerful. I'm excited for it in decks like Shaman mostly. In decks like Zoo, it's good. Everyone knew it would be good in decks like Zoo, but it kind of does have a drawback in that it slows the game down a lot. So if your opponent has a slower draw, they still have time to play all their cards because you're playing cards like Egg and Creeper instead of like Scarlet Crusader and more aggressive cards. So your opponent generally has like one more turn to play stuff now. But it's worth giving them that turn to play cards as high power level as Nerubian Egg because it's just a lot of stats for 2 mana and a card. More in decks and see all the cool things I can do with it.
Yeah.
Crazed Alchemist and stuff once the Priest card's released. Like, it's good.
Of the opponent plays a Consecration or the opponent plays a Flame Strike. That's the best way to pop the card. I'd like to. Oh, man, your stream is down.
Oh, is it? Shoot.
We're back.
Is it okay now? Okay, yeah. It had a few drop frames there, but.
Okay. So it's really good as just an anti AoE card when you have a lot of guys out.
Yeah.
And I would like to say that I think popping it with one of your own damage cards or one of your cards such as Crazed Alchemist is actually not ideal because it means you've used one of your cards which kind of has utility onto another card. And actually, there's been some popularity to some extent of using Crazed Alchemist with this card, and I'm not that big a fan of that because then you have to play Crazed Alchemist, whereas you can... I think there are better classes to utilize the card than requiring Crazed Alchemist.
Yeah, my favorite is Void Terror so far. Making a 3/5 and a 4/4. That's actually pretty fun. Okay, let's see. Next up is Reincarnate. Okay, and Reincarnate is... Which class? I forget which class. Is it...
It's pretty specific. You have to have a really good death rattle. So it's tough to say. I think it has possibility, and given that the game is leaning more towards a later game control, I don't think it would be out of the question to have some sort of later game Earth Elemental Ancestral Spirit reincarnate or some Cairn reincarnation.
Yeah, Cairn.
I don't think this card is actually that bad, unlike the opening salvo fired by Raynan. It is pretty specific, I will say. So in that case, you'd have to build a deck that had cards which Shaman currently doesn't run in order to use the reincarnate, but I do think it has its possibilities.
Okay, Raynan?
It's one of the weaker cards, but it's not unplayable. The thing with, if you're going to play it, it's probably going to be a one of in a, like, in place of Wind Fury in a Shaman deck to go with Leroy. But I think that Shaman is the hardest deck in the game to find room for cards because there are so many things that you just have to play, especially with the advent of cards like Nerubian Egg and Haunted Creeper. Like, it's really hard to find room in that deck right now. So personally, I don't think we'll ever see it being played, but it's not because it's like completely unplayable. It's pretty bad, but it's mostly because they're just, the other cards are just better, I think. And not horrible, but the card's just not quite worth it. There aren't any huge death rattles you like want to play in the first place in Shaman, right? Like reincarnating a Harvest Golem or a Haunted Creeper. Like Nerubian Egg is okay, but spending like two cards to make a 4/4.
Yeah.
With Leroy is where I see it being okay. Maybe you can heal a Fire Elemental.
I kind of liken it a bit more to, let's say, Priest as an example. You'll often see a Priest use Sylvanas and Shadow Word Death. And yes, Shadow Word Death has some utility. You can kill the other guys, and that's why it's not bad to run both of them. But Sylvanas itself isn't bad either. So you can see Sylvanas being run in a Shaman deck. You play the Reincarnate. Maybe it's a one of, and then sometimes you reincarnate Sylvanas. It's just like Priest Shadow Word Deathing their own Sylvanas, except you also keep your Sylvanas. So that is pretty good. I think this card is going to see some experimentation. I think jury's out on whether or not it's good or bad.
Yeah, I agree too. Yeah, Sylvanas, that would be a really, really good application of it. Unstable Ghoul is next. And which one is this? Death Rattle, deal one damage to all minions. Oh, okay. Raynan, why don't you start with this one?
That card's pretty sweet. It's going to slow the game down a bit, which, like Trump, I like that. More turns in games are a good thing. I think Unstable Ghoul, it's one of the things that might slow you down just enough to give the other decks reasonable fighting chance. The issue is it doesn't really kill anything. It kills like the second half of a Haunted Creeper. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a high power level card. Like, yeah, I think it's, well, that'll definitely see play.
It's a mini Abomination. Yeah. Trump?
Yeah, excellent card in a deck that isn't Zoo, which is generally aimed against Zoo. Like a 2-mana 2/3 is good. This one does a minimum of, well, not a minimum, but usually will deal at least 2 damage, so you can think of it as a 2/3 for 2, but it has a lot of upside. And the main upside is you play it in a deck without very many minions, or at least in the early game, and then you finish them off with something else.
Anything except Shaman and Zoo, I think you can play it in. Maybe even in Paladin you could play it. Even if it kills a lot of your own guys, it's like a decent 2-drop, and you're not you can trade off your 1/1s first. I think it's strong. You can play it in just about anything.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking more about like Acolyte of Pain, this guy's like Acolyte of Pain's best friend.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, next, Dancing Swords. Seen the AI play it a few times against me. Hasn't felt too bad when he's played it against me either. Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when the AI plays it against me, I'm actually kind of happy.
Yeah.
But that's mainly because their decks aren't really tuned to kill you as fast as possible. When I first saw Dancing Swords, this was kind of before Backspace Rogue became popular. So I was like, it probably isn't worth it. But now, with this super aggro rogue deck out there, and like there's generally a better feeling of how, even though the drawback is heavy where you force your opponents to draw a card, there are aggro decks out there right now which don't really care about how many cards you draw because you can't use them all, so you just... So it's just a 3-mana 4/4, that's good. And then Deathrattle, draw a card. Sometimes that's not too big a disadvantage. So you could see it in play in some recklessly aggressive decks.
Okay, Reyna?
First time I saw it, I thought it was just completely unplayable. It's like a really bad rate on a card. It's just like you're not really worth the 3-mana. But then the more I thought about it, I don't think it's good in aggressive decks because you'd rather play like a Harvest Golem. It's probably going to deal the same amount of damage over the course of the game, and as like it's like equally hard to kill, and it doesn't give them a card closer to swipe or anything like that. They're just like better 3 drops: Cold Light Oracle, Mukla. But one unique thing about Dancing Swords is it's like the only card in Exramus that forces your opponent to draw a card. So eventually there will be a critical mass of these, and you might be able to make some sort of fatigue deck work.
Mill decks, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, like, unreasonable. I've tried it with Druid, and it's surprisingly almost playable. And it's like, yeah, if enough cards like these come out, that maybe that kind of strategy would become a real thing. But that's mostly where I see it being used.
Hmm. Interesting. Naturalize a Dancing Sword into a Gold Eye Oracle or something crazy. Make him draw 5 cards. Okay, that's cool. All right, next up, Dark Cultists, which is, I believe, the priest card, right? Or is this... This is the priest class card, right?
Yep.
Okay. What you think, Reynad?
This card upsets me on so many levels. Let's compare it to Dancing Swords for a second. It's just as hard to kill, except the Deathrattle draws you a card. It's like, this card is a mistake. It's the best creature in the game. It's the best card in Exramus by a mile. I think it'll get nerfed to a 3/3. It should get nerfed to a 3/3. Wow. This is the Unleash the Hound solution to making a class playable, where you give them one card that is much better than it should be. They did it with Hunter when they gave it a 2-mana Unleash the Hounds. They're doing it with Priest by giving it this thing, and it doesn't. It just looks like an innocent, aggressively costed creature. But you guys, I'm already envisioning my opponent playing this against me on the board. They pay 3 mana to play this creature. You spend 4 mana to kill it, best case scenario, and it's still 2-for-1s you in that situation. Like, Harvest Golem is good because it makes them spend 4 mana to kill your 3-drop, but that's usually a 1-for-1. Like, you wrath it and you hero power. Dark Cultist, 2-for-1s you, and it costs 4 mana to kill. A card is not okay. I think it's like an egregious design mistake, but that's me.
Trump, what do you think? Wow, okay. I'm actually surprised. Wow.
Needless to say, the card is good.
Yeah, it's good.
First of all, though, when you compare it with a card like Harvest Golem, it isn't that much more ridiculous. The Harvest Golem, you can consider to be like a 3-mana 2/4, kind of. You can sometimes consider it to be like a 3-mana 4/4 if you're really, really generous with adding up the stats. The Dark Cultist, on the other hand, is a class card, and they've said that class cards can be better than normal cards. And in addition to being the only 3-mana 3/4 in the game, which in itself would not be a bad vanilla card, you put it in the priest set in particular, and you give them a death row. And I understand that this pushes the boundaries, and if it were like a warlock card, that would be absurd. But this is a priest card. Priest has been like very strongly and generally admitted by most people to be like one of the weakest classes, if not the weakest class in Hearthstone. So I really like their design philosophy on this one, where they gave the weakest class one card, which is good. And I don't even think it's outrageously good. And obviously, yeah, it's strong. But you play it, say the opponent is playing Zoo, they can do something just as unfair. Like, they have a Harvest Golem out, you play your Abusive Sergeant on it, and then you kill it. You Soul Fire it for free. It's like, whatever. I think the card is strong, but not an egregious design error, and actually a good design.
I think I agree with you in that if you're going to make a card like this, Priest was absolutely the right class to do it for. They should have done it for Priest or Mage. But I think that fixing a class shouldn't be done by making one card that's too good. And this card is much, much better than it looks. and it looks insane. And it should be done by giving the class like more depth, more options. I think that there are three priest cards released in Exoramus, which is Dark Cultist, Shadow Form, and well, Shadow Priest, which are all very good now. And the metagame itself just made cards like Shadow or whatever, Shadow Madness. That's what I meant. The 4-mana one that steals guys.
Yeah.
Shadow Madness and Cabal Shatter Priest are like two of the better cards right now on ladder, and that alone would make Priest strong. So this is like the solution of giving one deck a broken card is just like it's so sloppy. But yeah, if they're gonna make a card this good, they should give it to Priest. I agree. But yeah, I think it's it doesn't look too bad right now, but I can't wait to play turn 2 Ancient Watcher and then turn 3 Dark Cultist and then just like the game ends. You can't do anything about it. The card is I don't know.
The game ends really? So they play turn 2 Ancient Watcher. They play turn 3 Dark Cultist. Like what about the Zutha? You play your dark. You play your turn 1 Zombie Chow. You play your turn 2 like any 2 drop, and then they play their Ancient Watcher. You play a 3-drop. They play their 3/4 Silly Dark Cultist. And then you Soulfire it. And then their Ancient Watcher isn't even activated. And then you go do stuff.
But see, in that case, though, the Zoo deck is completely out of cards. The Priest deck has 4 cards in hand and scales better into the late game. The Dark Cultist just added 3 health to the creature you're going to give taunt to, traded for 3 cards from your opponent, or 2 cards from your opponent. Like, it's yes, that turn Zoo is ahead on board, but 4 turns from then, like, the fact that you had to Soulfire, God forbid they did. Like, what if they didn't have Soulfire? It's,
what if you were a different class, basically?
Yeah, exactly. What if you weren't Zoo and they played Dark Cultist? My God, you're going to swipe their 3-drop? What if they're on the play? You're going to coin swipe their Dark Cultist and then buff their other guy? And then you give your Watcher taunt? How does Druid kill that? Like,
there's so many ways to deal with it. You True Silver Champion, you do a Wrath in a Hero ability, you do a Frostbolt in a Hero ability. There are... you
all those
eviscerate
things
cost
4 mana, and they get a free Power Word shield on their creature. It's like...
if they even have another minion out.
It's not flashy, right? It's not like Pyroblast, oh, the game ends when you play it. But it's so much incremental value for one card that... like, the games where Priest draws this card and plays it turn 3 versus the games where it doesn't are going to, like, vary its win percentage by, like, 20. The card is just very, very strong. Very strong. It's not going to end the game on the spot, but it will be the reason you lose in a drawn-out game. I guarantee it. Even if it doesn't look that
even way. Stronger than that is something like you play a Injured Blade Master and then you Circle of Healing. That's a 3-mana 4/7. And...
yeah, but you're 2-for-1-ing yourself for that. This is a 3-mana 3/7. But you don't have to 2-for-1 yourself or draw a combo. This card's insane.
I don't think it's proper to call it a 3-mana 3/7. It's more of a 3-mana 3/4, and then sometimes it gets an additional benefit.
Right,
and I'd say the times where you get the additional benefit are quite rare.
All you need is another creature, right? I don't know. We'll see. I think it's the best card. I think it's the best creature in Hearthstone, though, by far. I don't think anything comes close.
Oh, man, I think a lot of things come close. Notably, Zombie Chow and the Egg.
Zombie Chow for me is just ridiculous. Yeah, the Egg, too, I think, in my opinion, is a little bit better. But Dark Cultist is kind of interesting because I think it's really strong, too. But just some of the players I talked to, I think there's some mixed reactions about it, too. Like, some people think it's super strong like you, and some people think it might not even be worth running, which is kind of crazy, in my opinion, given that it's just the stats and potential of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's a unanimous type of thing, for sure. But let's move on. Let's go for Deathlord here.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think we can both agree it's a very good card. And
yeah, it's a strong
think, and we all agree that Priest is the class that should get a really good card, for a class card. So, that's good.
All right, let's move on to Deathlord. 2/8 taunt. But obviously the penalty is that your opponent gets to throw something on the battlefield. And I think we've played against it, right, in the expansion. I think we've run into the Deathlord. I think I've run into the Deathlord playing in the expansion. Mm-hmm. Whose turn is it? Let's see. Reyna, you go first.
On Deathlord? It's a really hard card to evaluate. This is one of the ones that I have to play with to see like just how good it is. It probably really depends on the metagame a lot. I think it... I mean, it seems strong against decks like Druid, actually, because their creatures are reliant on battle cries where they choose and stuff. So I think if you get a Druid of the Claw, it's like a 4/4, right? So,
oh, I see what you mean. It's just forces.
Yeah. They don't get draw off Ancient Allure. Yeah. Ancient Allure is a 5/5. Like, Keeper is just a 2/4. And it's really hard for them to kill a high stat minion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like good in those situations. It's really hard to evaluate, though. Maybe it's good in something like Zoo. I have no idea. This card is either fantastic or terrible or somewhere in between. And I'm sure it depends on the metagame and on so many factors. I just have a really hard time evaluating it. It's probably like the perfect stats, though, for that ability.
It's good against Zoo, too, right?
Maybe. Zoo kind of kills it easily, I think.
Hmm. Okay. Trump, what do you think about this card?
I love this card so much. It's such great game design, assuming that it isn't ridiculously overpowered. In the case that it's ridiculously overpowered, then they took a risk in the game design. I still think it's cool. So let's start with the pros. I think this card is the answer to the Zoo.
Yeah.
Your Zoo will run generally really bad cards unless you get lucky with like a Doomguard reveal off of this, which would be kind of unlucky, but otherwise you get like a 3/2 or a 2/3, and your Death Lord is going to stop, say, 2 or 3 minions. Like, Earth Elemental used to be super strong against Zoo, but the problem is that you can only put it out on turn 5, whereas you play your Death Lord, you can actually legitimately play it on turn 3 and then stop them flat.
Mm-hmm.
If you could even consider running it in Zoo, and that card is actually, I hadn't considered it myself. That would be pretty scary, I think, having to deal with a 2/8 taunt. However, this thing is, like, when you see this card come into play, then you have another possibility. Like, you start running those old school control decks with big drops. Notably, what comes to mind is Warrior. And then you do, like, a slam execute on it, and then you get your Ragnaros, or you get your Zera. And that's pretty fun.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be awesome. It'd be hard to pull off, especially against Zoo. Oh, my God. If Zoo started running this, it would be insane, I think.
It's probably actually good against Miracle Rogue, right? Because they're going to play few enough creatures that if you get their Leroy, you might just win the game. And they probably keep their Auctioneer in their opening hand, so the odds of giving them Auctioneer is not terribly high. Maybe, I don't know, it's... Yeah, that card I'll have to play with a lot to see if it's good. It's interesting, for sure.
Yeah, it is a good Miracle Stopper as well. I remember notably you ran Motion Warden for a moment to like do that skill test moment where you play it just before the turn they kill you. It's a good one to play right before they kill you as well.
Yeah.
And because you actually get to do other stuff. And it's also reasonable against Zoo, unlike Motion Warden.
Any other class you can think of that might be good besides Zoo and...
You played in any control or mid-range deck, Priest. It's a 2/8 for 3. You can just heal it a lot. Like, yeah. It's really... You could silence your own Death Lord, and you have a guy with a ton of stats. Like, I don't... As a big proponent of Shield Bearer, I think this card is awesome. And it's cool. I don't know if it's... It's got to be good enough to see play in something, right? It's just a lot of stats. For anything that powerful, there's usually something found to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you play it in literally every class, even Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, something I love is just cards which have an advantage with a drawback. I think that's what makes card games in general interesting. And for 3 mana, you're expecting you get 7 value of stats, 3/4, 4/3, 2/5, whatever. And then here you get an additional 3 worth of stats, and you get taunt, and it comes with a
random
like sliding scale of drawback. It's like making your opponent cast a free mind games, really, which in itself is 4 mana. But of course, mind games suck, so can't really count that in. But it's cool design, is what I think. And I think that the card serves a very important place, and it's difficult to see what it is at the moment.
Okay, next up, Duplicate, which is the... this is the mage? This is the mage card, right?
Yep.
All right. Any thoughts on this?
It's too bad they got a secret. Mage is like one of my favorite classes. I was hoping it would get another water elemental or something.
Another water elemental. That would have been brutal. So you don't like the secret much, or just generally just don't like Secret Mage?
It's like, it's an interesting card. I don't, it's good in an attrition fight. Maybe, I mean, now that Mad Scientist is a card, you have to look at all secrets more seriously. I think it's playable, sort of. It's a really hard card to evaluate. You can't pop it on your turn. I think it's good with charge creatures like Wolf Rider, maybe. That's a card they can't really ignore. Like, they're going to kill it on their turn, and then you can double Wolf Rider the turn after. Like, I don't think it's great. I think you'll want to play other secrets before it, but it's definitely not unplayable.
I mean, kind of
definitely
at
one of the weaker classes.
You look at this card kind of like, I mean, it's not as good as Arcane Intellect, right? But it's a card drawing mechanic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
If you build your deck around it, it might be better than Arcane Intellect, but it just really depends. It's like, it's slow. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump, what do you think?
Yeah, like you said, Shanman, this card is the one that I think is hands down the worst, and I try to think of a way for it to be better than Arcane Intellect, and for that to happen, you have to really go secrets heavy or go, like, you have to build something which somehow your opponent wants to kill on their turn, and then you want to play two copies of on your turn, and that's difficult to see. Perhaps there's going to be something worth it in the future, hard to say, but right now this is pretty much my thought on the worst card.
Worst, okay.
Worst class card, and one of the worst cards in the Xramas. Cost too much, really.
Okay, so, yeah, we're going to have to... I actually don't know which one I would put worst, but... All right, this is a candidate for sure. Candidate for worst right here, duplicate. All right, next up, Shades of Naxxramas. And got a chance to see this quite a bit, actually, against the AI. And what are your thoughts so far on this, Trump?
The card is... I like the design on this one as well. It's if it survives their turn, then you have a 3-mana 3/3 of stealth, which is good. And even before Naxxramas, you started to see some weird stuff. Like, some decks would play a Stranglethorn Tiger and just leave it stealth for some time. So in that case, you can actually play Shade of Naxxramas, and should it get to turn 5, then it's like a discounted Stranglethorn Tiger if you just decide to leave it in stealth. I think it opens up some weird options where you can have the stealth buff kill, and it's just not a terrible minion by itself. There's not too many ways to remove a 2/2 with stealth on turn 3, other than notably Consecration. So I think the card is fair, and it might make waves, but overall probably just a solid card. And, like, in the most extreme case, you get a deck built around it.
Okay. Raynan?
It's really interesting. I mean, at first I thought it was going to be really bad, but the more I thought about it, you can play buffs, like the Paladin card that doubles attack. Or there's a card that does that, right? Paladin card that doubles the attack. That thing. Like you mentioned, the buff effects are really strong. Like, I think it's it'll be better in slower decks like Priest or Warrior, probably, because once it does attack, you can't really ignore it, right? So you have to deal with it, and if it's like a 6/6, you kill something with it as Priest, then you heal it up. It's harder to deal with, and they still have to commit resources to dealing with it, otherwise it will kill them. And a slower deck like Warrior, I mean, you can just have it sitting out there for a while you deal with your threats, then you brawl eventually, maybe, and you guarantee you have a guy out. I mean, it's definitely a slower card. You don't want to play it in a deck like Zoo, but it's very unique, and I think it's costed just right for that kind of effect. It'll be really interesting to play with.
I mean, you know, definitely a lot of those points are great, but is it too slow, though, given the current meta that we've seen? I mean, having to leave a minion sitting there for a turn or two doesn't seem like it would be possible, given how fast the meta is.
Trump's right. The metagame is slowing down because of Nax. Like, okay. The new cards are all low attack, high health. So even though the decks that are considered aggressive for some reason by people like Zoo, they do get better cards. The games are like slower. So Zoo is better, but it's also slower. And every other deck is also slower. So you have more time to build up a card like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, next. Let's see. Oh, yeah, this is the Restoring the Minion one. Yeah, we saw a lot of these in the single player. Reyna, what's your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's a three mana Weblord. So
yeah, that sums it up, right?
I liked killing it with two drops. It's not a very good card, the worst one in the set, but it's cool. I don't know. I wish it had a little bit more health, maybe. Maybe it was like a 1/5. It'd be a little more interesting.
Okay, yeah. Trump?
Yeah, I mean, this card is such a joke. I think about what the Blizzard developers or game designer or game testers were like. Maybe at one point it was a 1/5, and then someone came up with some kind of degenerate gargoyle buff deck, and then, like, they could never get through the gargoyle. Is that what happened? Like, I think it can easily be a 1/5, and it would still probably be bad. But as is, hands down, worst card in Naxxramas.
Maybe Ben Brode lost to Interfire or something, got really salty about it, nerfed it into the ground.
All right, so candidate number two for worst card in Naxxramas, Stoneskin Gargoyle. Yeah, I was just trying to think of any kind of, like, maybe Priest, you know, something cool with Priest that maybe you could do. I don't know.
Like, this is the card where you get four of them in the Druid heroic battle against Magsna. And, like, there you get everything you can possibly get to buff the Gargoyle. You get the Mark of Nature, you get the Mark of the Wild. Yep. And Magsna uses a hero ability which does random... Or, sorry, not Magsna, Feralina does random damage. And then, like, sometimes your Stoneskin Gargoyle just heals for free. And it's like, even then, I drew four Stoneskin Gargoyles in that game. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose because I get all these Stoneskin Gargoyles. It's so bad.
Agreed. Yeah, definitely three mana. Maybe if it was two mana, you know, it'd be similar to Weblord, but at least it would have a different kind of effect.
Yeah. Actually, I remember Maz mentioning exactly a two mana version of this card for Priest when we were talking on a Value Town some months ago.
Oh, saying like he would want that?
He specifically called Stoneskin Gargoyle as a card for two. Or no, really? Maybe I said it. One of us said it. Yeah, it was two mana. I said two mana, or he said. One of us said, 2 mana, 1/4. Gain restores its health to full every turn. Not that it helps with the Chillwind Yeti problem at all, but I remember this. That's why this card stood out to me when I saw it.
Wow.
Yeah, you could probably dig it up.
Maz, man. He's got a lot of things going on. Wow, that's crazy if he was able to predict that. Okay, next up, we got the Anubar Ambusher, which is the rogue card that we get this this first release. And Trump, you mentioned playing this card in your tempo rogue or your mid-range rogue that you've been playing recently. What do you think of this card?
Yeah, I mean, card in itself, when you look at it at face value, 4 mana, 5/5, wow. So obviously you have to have some, not significant, but you have to have some amount of drawback, because it does beat the other very popular 4 mana, 4/5, and lives to tell the tale. So this card is, just looking at the stats, quite good. The Death Rattle usually plays against you, but you can... Like, there were two directions that I saw where you could use this. One is to build in the more control-oriented deck, and just usually you play that on 4, and maybe that's your only minion, in which case you've got a strong 4-mana 5/5. The other is you play it in the backspace-type aggro rogue as a just big guy, and there's all these cards which you can play again. Say you play Leroy, and then you send Anubar Ambusher to die somehow, and then you play Leroy again. Same with Arcane Golem. But then when I thought about that, I started thinking, wait, but you should just attack their face with 5 damage anyways. So I kind of came to the conclusion that it's a strong card. You put it in probably a control-ish type deck, but it could see some interesting play in an aggro deck.
Okay, Raynad?
I actually played with this the first on Tuesday, like right when it came out. The first deck I played after Zoo was Tempo Rogue to like counter all the Zoo. And I played this guy, and he was okay, but I was kind of wishing he was Chillwind Yeti most of the time, which was a little underwhelming. He's basically like the same card, but when the drawback is a drawback, it's like really inconvenient. And the one power is, I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't really make up for it that much. There's not a big difference between hitting somebody for 4 on turn 5 and hitting them for 5 on turn 5. But it's definitely not a bad card. Some decks, maybe you want four Chill Wind, yeah, use that. And like in that case, I think he's definitely strong. I have to play with him more to see. But it's definitely costed well enough that it's playable. The question is, how many four drops do you want in your Rogue deck and which ones? I was more excited about Defender of Argus being playable in Rogue because you could play the Spider, the 1-2 Spider. So it's easier for Rogue to get a couple creatures to stick in the early game and then play the buff effect like it used to. Like the old tempo rogue decks with Dark Iron Dwarf and stuff.
But, yeah. I mean, with tempo rogue, this is kind of counterintuitive, right? Because it takes tempo away from you if you remove it, if you have just like an extra minion on the board, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, it's a lot of stats. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe play Farseer and like a slower rogue deck could be good.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely see it in a backspace type rogue, just in an aggro. But control would be interesting too. All right, let's see. Baron Rivendare. Okay. It's Rivendare, right? It's not Rivendare, is it? Trump, is it Rivendare or Rivendare?
Actually, don't know. Okay. I was very surprised to find out it was Myxna.
Myxna, okay. Okay, so
I think most people called it Myxna, but anyways.
All right, so this card, I don't know, a lot of people when it first came out thought it was going to be people's initial reaction thought it was going to be amazing, but then, you know, talking to more of the pros, they didn't think it was going to be that great. So, Trump, thoughts on it now?
No, I still don't know. So when we first saw Baron Rivendare, we only had the vision of, like, 5 neutral cards. So now we actually have all the neutral cards, so you can evaluate him for what he is. And yet it's still very difficult because we haven't played with the Death Rattles yet. Like, could it be a card where you see it as a finisher in an Undertaker deck, and then you play it, and then you, like, send all your Death Rattles off to die? Or is that too situational? Do you play it in a deck where you have one or two really good Death Rattles, and then somehow that lives, and then you play your Baron Rivendare, and then you trigger two of it? Is that too slow? Is that too combo-y? It's hard to say. So that's, I think this is a really hard card to evaluate. And I will just say that, and I will hold off on my judgment of that card, because I don't know.
Right, Raynad?
I'm pretty much with Trump on this, I have no idea. At first I thought it was terrible, then the more I thought about it, it seemed a little bit better, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. It might be too situational, might not. It really depends on how big of a role cheap Death Rattles play in the deck that you put this in, I think, because you want to play it on curve on turn 4. Maybe it's strong enough. I don't know. I guess one of the issues with it is if you don't pop Death Rattles the turn that you play it, or even if you do, let's say it gets you like an extra Harvest Golem token, then that's like the next turn you're playing your next Death Rattle guy. So basically, if you trigger its ability and you get some value out of a Death Rattle the turn that you play it, after that it's going to be two more turns until you can trigger it again. So it's not like really a constant engine. It'll probably be dead by then or silenced. So I think it's like fine, but might not be exciting enough to be worth a slot in most decks. I don't know. It is hard to evaluate, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point that it's going to be a big target, like absolutely from your opponent the next turn. But I could see it being maybe a way to fill the board, you know, like with the cheaper Death Rattles, like you said, you know, just like having 4 spiders spawn. You know, that's a great way to fill a board, like if you're a shaman or something like that. Could be cool.
And some of the best Death Rattle guys have negative Death Rattles. Zombie Chow or the 2/8 for 3. You don't really want to play those guys with this, but you still want to play them in your Undertaker deck, right? So it's a I think it's the second best card behind Dark Cultist and Extramis. I'm really excited about it. I love that Warrior got a really good card. It's one of my favorite classes to play. You'll see two of it in every single Warrior list. It kills Yeti on the second hit on its own. It's fantastic. It's like, it's everything you want. Like, True Silver is already one of the best Paladin cards, and this is that and more. It's just a fantastic card. I love it, yeah.
Trump?
Definitely going to see a lot of play.
Wow, that was a very positive review of it. I'm slightly tempered in it because I look at it and I'm like, oh, okay. You'll see it in Control Warrior. I'm not sure you'll see two copies. Maybe you'll see one. Maybe you'll see two. Maybe you'll see zero. It's going to be very fun with the Acolyte of Pain, which already has a lot of synergy, and the Control Warrior, and aggro. Yeah, you could see it with, like, a bunch of enrages. And I think it is a little bit comparable to Swipe. It's like a Swipe on the second swing, and on the first swing you get a free, I'm going to use quotation marks, 4 points of damage. It's a competitive card.
Yeah. Yeah, this card, I'm kind of with Reyna. I'm really excited to get a chance to try this, because, again, the deal one damage to all minions has so much synergy with Warrior. Whether it's the Control Warrior that we think about right now, or even just all kinds of crazy enraging, worgen, charging, all kinds of things like that, right, that we might be able to see kind of maybe pop up into the metagame again. So can't wait to
try
out.
Yeah, there's so many things it does too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Shaman matchup is hard. This gives you a way to clear all the totems with a Whirlwind.
Yeah,
it can, like, it's so annoying to kill Haunted Creeper tokens that are left over. Just Echoing Ooze is going to be a thing. Like, I think it'll be great.
Yeah, I mean, you can almost replace, like, if you run Arcanine Reaper, this is almost exactly the same as Arcanine Reaper with, like, one less damage, right, potentially to, like, a single target. So it seems like a very logical replacement for a card that's already there. Plus, it buys you maybe another card, which could be like a Whirlwind or something like that. So it seems like, I don't know, it seems to be a really good fit. So I can't wait to try that card. All right, next up, Poison Seeds. Another card that's out right now. Trump, thoughts?
Well, with the popularity of Zero right now, this card sucks. But in the case that control decks rise in power, or Handlock is more of a thing, you'll see this card situationally being used. I think it's very hard to combo Poison Seeds with yourself, because the interesting thing about Death Rattles is they're usually only good when you attack into your opponent's stuff, or your opponent uses removal. So when you yourself are using the removal, it's not as good.
Well, at least you get something in turn. You at least get a 2-2 in return, right? If you use, instead of just literally using a spell to remove your pop your egg or something like that. It's a little bit better. But Reyna, what do you think?
Poison Seeds, it's like as a reactive answer to big guys, I think it's pretty weak. But if there's some way you can use it proactively, like let's say once Echoing Ooze comes out and then you have, you play like Haunted Creeper, you play Nerubian Egg, you play all these cards, Defender of Argus, then you can like just Poison Seeds for value. Maybe that's good enough, but I agree with Trump. Like, a lot of the value in Death Rattle is getting to use the front half of the creature to trade with something.
Yeah.
And this doesn't really work that well with that. But it's still a really unique, powerful effect. So there might be a metagame where it becomes really strong.
Okay, let's see. Next up, we've got Void Caller. All right, so Void Caller is it's the Warlock card, right? Put a demon from your hand onto the battlefield. So 3/4 yep. 4/4 here for a 4-mana cost. What do you guys think, Reyna?
I want to say it's pretty bad, but it's interesting. It comes into play from your hand. People want to live the Doomguard dream, but that's not even as good as it sounds.
What about the Jiraxxus dream?
Yeah, you get a 3/15, right?
Yeah, that's how that 3/15. Works.
That's strong. I don't think it's good enough, but maybe someone will prove me wrong. It's just, I'd rather play another card that gets more value as a 4-drop, like Dark Iron Dwarf, mm-hmm. and then just play the Doomguard from my hand. Because I'm probably not going to have that many cards in hand anyway at that point. It's just, the stats are really weak, and the effect's not immediate, and the effect is not consistent. So all of those things lead me to think that it's not quite good enough. You'd want to... Maybe if Dread Infernal becomes good enough to play, there's a lot of 1-1s in the metagame, then you're playing more big demon guys like that, then this guy gets good. But to me, it looks a little weak.
Okay, Trump?
This is one of those cards where if you just evaluate it in like the current decks, it does look kind of weak, because you have these already established Zoo decks, you have your already established, like, you haven't even seen Undertaker yet, but you can already assume it to be pretty good just based off how well Zoo is doing and how many Death Rattles it's got. But Void Caller, it's not just going to fit into that deck. I think if it's going to be good, it'll spawn a different type of deck, some sort of demon-flavored deck,
mm-hmm.
Or perhaps a Zoo deck, which is running Void Caller. Like, sometimes you have to look at the dream when you're evaluating these cards, and the dream I believe, is to use your Void Caller to trade into one of your opponent's guys, and then you charge them with a 5-7, which doesn't have a drawback. That is the dream. And I think it's something that could happen enough that it could be good. It's tough to evaluate. Yeah, I don't know whether or not you could actually make a demon-themed deck with that aforementioned Dread Inferno. Like, is Sense Demons going to be a card with the Void Caller? Who knows? Maybe. So, and there's some other interesting demons out there too, like Illidan. So,
yeah,
perhaps you could see it. Perhaps it'll not. But either way, it is a cool card.
Yeah. You could even build a... I mean, I think everybody's first thought is to build a deck that has a lot of demons when you run a card like this, but what if you only run a single really strong demon or two just to force that to be put on the board? Could be interesting, too. Wailing Souls is next. Battlecry, silence your other minions. Okay, so Wailing Souls. Trump, you want to go first on this one?
It's a nice anti-card for Freeze Mage, pretty much, and it can combo with Ancient Watcher. That is it, and it's good stats. 4-mana, 3-5 with an ability is what you would expect. And this is a hard counter card to those who would put bad stuff on your minions like Humility and Blizzard.
Okay. Reyna?
Yeah, it's strong if there are a lot of decks playing things like Trump mentioned, Humility, Freeze Effect. Mostly I think it's worse than Spellbreaker, though, because usually silencing just one of your own guys is good enough, and a card like Spellbreaker, even though it has worse stats than this, it's just a lot more flexible. A lot of times you want to silence your opponent's stuff, so
yeah.
I think usually you'd rather play a Spellbreaker, but Wailing Soul is not terrible, and if you play a deck with maybe enough negative Death Rattles or Ancient Watcher or Freeze Mage is popular, you know, all those things come together, then Wailing Soul will be good. But personally, I think it's printed a little bit too early. There just aren't quite enough cards out that interact with it positively for it to see play. But, you know, after the next expansion, something like that, this is a card that can become fantastic. All it needs is one or two more cards that synergize with it.
Yeah. All right, next up, Fugin. And Fugin and Staly they're kind of synergized, right? Fugin in particular, let's see. If Stalag also died this game, then summon Thaddeus, which is the last card we're going to talk about, which is a huge 11-11. What do you guys think about running a deck that has all three of these guys in it? Reyna?
Is Thaddeus a good card?
Oh, actually, Thaddeus isn't a card.
Sorry.
It's just a guy, right? But Trump, you were going to say something? The good news?
Yeah, the good news is Thaddeus isn't a card.
Yeah.
Because if you had to put a 10-mana 11-11 in your deck, that would pretty much always suck.
Yeah.
So it's good that Thaddeus isn't a card. So when you look at these cards, you have to kind of look at the dream. So I kind of compare this to Karen. Karen's 6-mana 4-5. When it dies, it gets another 6-mana 4-5. Well, it gets a 4-5. When Stalag and Fuegan die, you get an 11-11. This is actually one of my pet favorite cards in the deck because I think it's cool flavorfully, although I think Thaddeus is a little bland, but just this idea of having to combine two cards dying and then getting a nice reward for it is pretty good. Is it playable? I think in a heavy control deck, it could be. And I will also mention that Fuegan is probably better than Stalag as an off-note, just because of the stats.
Yeah, the hell. That's much better. Right now.
And I'll also mention that Fuegan's stats aren't too bad. Like, 5-mana, 4-7, you can play that.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think?
I agree with Trump. I think it's cool that they're 5-drops, because those are... Before Naxxramas, that was definitely a spot in the curve that was really tough to fill. Now there's a ton of options. I think you're going to... They're costed aggressively enough that they should be playable. The cards are fine on their own, and there's a big payoff if you do get to pop both. The one issue is that I think if the second one gets silenced, you don't get the guy. But Thaddeus is kind of a bonus. You're just kind of playing... You're playing, slightly under-costed cards to win those long attrition games. Maybe that ends up being good enough in certain metagames. I don't know. They are just kind of a pile of stats, but they're not unplayable. I think they'd be fun to try out in like a Druid deck or a Warrior deck or a Priest, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty used to be pretty strong to have a 4/7 for 5. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, those are the three cards there. I just kind of threw them all up at once so we could all see them. But, okay, what we got next here? We've got... All right, Lotheb's next. Trump, you want to give your opinion on Lotheb? Well, actually, no, it kill. Should be... Sorry, I think I... Well, go ahead and do Lotheb. I kind of went out all of right. sequence there.
A lot of players have held this as, like, the best card in the format, but I think they weren't looking entirely on how much more minion-based this game could become with Naxxramas. I mean, they've kind of seen it this week with the popularization of Zoo. Needless to say, this is one of the strongest points of Zoo because, like, the anti-Zoo cards haven't been released yet, but the Egg and the Spider Spawner has been released. And so, say Lotheb were released against a Zoo metagame, it wouldn't even be that exciting. It's 5-mana, 5/5, and Zoo doesn't use spells. Obviously, this was aimed against more spell-based decks, and it's a very good card against those. It pushes their agenda back one turn.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Reyna?
Yeah, so... Obviously, it's really strong against a deck like Miracle Rogue, right?
Yeah.
But when we consider it in every other matchup, it feels like Stranglethorn Tiger to me. And I think that if you're going to be seeing Zoo every third game, playing a vanilla 5-mana 5/5 is a little bit awkward. I mean, it's fine. It'll see play potentially, but I don't. It's more of like a Harrison Jones type card. I don't think that. This is like an auto include in every deck. I don't think it's nearly as strong as people make it out to be. It's fine, but it's not a card that I will play in most of my decks. I'll play it very rarely. One thing that's interesting is from a design standpoint, they've put cards in this set that have a game design philosophy I didn't think they would do. Like Lotheb negatively impacts your opponent's turn. It stops your opponent from doing stuff, right? Yeah. They don't want effects like discard or anything like that in Hearthstone, but Lotheb is exactly what it does. It messes with your opponent's options. So I don't really like that as a game design thing. I also don't like that they printed another Fairy Dragon. Those things tilt me. I have really strong feelings about those cards in card games. I think mechanics like Hexproof and Fairy Dragon's mechanic are bad game design, but because they limit interactivity, but they are symmetrical, so you can't. Yeah, whatever, we'll get to that when we get to it. But Lotheb, I think, is playable, but it's like it's Harrison Jones level of playable.
I mean, design-wise, it seems like they're just trying to go for more of a minion style of play, right? More so than, I mean, at least with this particular card, too. Like, you can't remove this guy, so you're going to be forced to have to deal with minions or deal with minions, kind of like you said with Fairy Dragon. Overall, I just feel like that's generally the direction they're heading with Naxxramas. Trump, what do you think about this card and...
Yeah, I mean, exactly. It is. It follows their philosophy. I understand what Reynad's saying, that cards that mess with your opponent's turn seem to be against Blizzard's philosophy. However, this one in particular is aimed against like very specific decks that players hated. So when Lotheb came on, you saw all these memes coming on how, like, Blizzard, listen to us! Oh my gosh, there's a card! And everyone's really happy about Lotheb. You look at a lot of top players, and I actually think that many of them rated Lotheb as the best card in this set, and there have been some who have even gone on to say, like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to put Lotheb in every single one of my decks. And I was like, oh no, I agree more with Reynad. Like, it's just, I don't even want to call it better than Harrison Jones. It is Harrison Jones-like, in that if there are spell-heavy decks, then you put them in, and then you play your odds. And I like the philosophy of not just making it more solitary, like you can't do anything to your opponents because they're only playing spells. So Lotheb kind of makes it so that more minions, minion-based play in decks, which is more interactive by default, is encouraged. So that's fine.
Okay. Next up, Sludge Belcher. And bringing this up. Yeah, this is an interesting card too. Taunt and the Death Rattle is also taunts. What do you think about this, Trump?
Let's see. Sludge Belcher.
3/5/1/2.
It's Tazingo, and then you get the added benefit that you get a 1/2 after it dies with for one more mana. I think it's good. It will, like, you see Tazdingo being run a bit against Miracle Rogue, partly because it's good against the turn before you're about to die to Miracle Rogue, and partly because it's just reasonable against other. Sludge Belcher seems to be like one of those cards which might be really annoying to deal with, because you can't deal with the one attack. You can't deal with one health with just your dagger, and it's two health. So it might slow him down even more. There's all these subtle things which are make Miracle harder to go off, which you don't quite see, but this card is kind of like that. And it's just a reasonable value card. It's priced appropriately.
Yeah. Reyna?
I think it's, I agree with Trump on all that. Reasonable value card, priced appropriately. Much better than Fen Creeper. We'll definitely see this in a lot of decks that are just aiming to slow the game down. It looks really strong. Yeah. I look forward to playing with it.
Yeah, me too. I like it. For sure. Okay, Spectral Knight, 4/6. Here's your Fairy Dragons, big brother. Spectral Knight. Reynad, thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's symmetrical, right? So neither player can interact with it.
Oh, true. Yeah.
I guess that's better than one player being allowed to put pants on it and the other player not being able to do anything about it. But, yeah, the card is playable. It's fine. I think it's too slow for Constructed. You'd rather play other 5-drops, but I'm sure in Arena it's phenomenal. But from a game design standpoint, I think making cards like this is a mistake. But, yeah, it's just a fine card, like, average-sized animal.
Okay, Trump?
I'm just morally opposed to it.
Morally opposed.
Yeah, it's a fine card. Actually, some of the people think that this card is also one of the best cards, and I think this is kind of a overreaction to just how much people hate Miracle Rogue. This is obviously going to be a big problem for Miracle Rogue to deal with, since the only way that they can deal with it outside of hitting with Azure Drake and Earthen Ring Farseer and SI7. Actually, that's pretty much the only way, and their weapon. So you're just going to have this thing, which is just good against the spell decks. It's similar to Loathem. And against a minion-based deck, it's not much better and perhaps worse than the other 4/6 or 5, which is out there, the Spiteful Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't very exciting, but it's certainly better against spell-based decks. So,
yeah.
Blizzard stated that, like, they don't want to nerf cards. They want to make cards in expansions which deal with the current metagame. And then I think this is a really good, and Loathem, really good examples of their philosophy. And they're not even, like, if you were a new player to Hearthstone, you wouldn't even really see that these were counters to them. Like, they are fine cards on their own. So,
yeah, it's a little subtle way of doing it. Yeah, kind of a subtle way of dealing with or making it a little bit harder for Miracle Rogue. So I agree with that. Or it's a pretty good way of doing it. Kel'Thuzad, even though Reynad hates those cards. Kel'Thuzad, all right. Let's see. Oh, this card. This card. At the end of your turn, summoning all friendly minions. Okay. So I want to hear, I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on this card. Reynad,
it's props to Blizzard for making so many cards that are hard to evaluate. It'd be fun to play with them and see just how good they are. This guy is definitely not unplayable. It's a recursive effect, and it happens immediately. Like, it's really interesting. It's like an 8-mana value guy, so you have to kind of compare it to Ragnaros. It's more consistent, so I like that. It's huge. It gets to attack. Like, I'm pretty sure it's good. The question is there going to be a deck that can, like, really take advantage of this? Is the metagame going to be slow enough to that you can afford to play an 8-mana card in your deck? And Kel'Thuzad is super interesting. I think it's awesome. It'll definitely see play in something. But, yeah, it's tough to say just how much.
Trump?
I share Reynad's views pretty much on this, although I came to the opposite conclusion. So I'm pretty sure it's bad, but it's hard to say. And we're going to have to see if the metagame is slow enough that it'll allow you to play a turn 8 guy, which is requiring, I mean, it doesn't require you to have a guy on the board, but obviously it's a lot better when you have guys on the board already. And when you think about that, like a card like Stormwind Champion is also a card which is big, it costs one less mana, has two less health, but it's a card where if you have guys on the board, yeah, it's a lot better, but you don't see anyone playing it because it's hard to get guys on the board and then play a 7-mana card. And obviously the effect of Stormwind Champion is not as big as Kelty's odds, yeah. And I think it's important not to have like eyes so big that you look at Kelty's odds ability and be like, oh man, I can never lose. I just keep setting my guys at them and they keep coming back. But like, you might not have guys, or they might nuke Kelty's odd, or maybe there's hard removal, whatever.
Yeah, it seems to be, I mean, there's a specific situation or specific type of playstyle for this, right? Because Kelty's odd is not one of those things where it's like you can attack their face and all of a sudden you get benefit from it. You actually have to be in a removal scenario, right, to actually be able to benefit from that, because I think he will be removed like the next turn by your opponent no matter what. So I don't know, maybe some scenarios are shamans with a bunch of totems, and then maybe on turn 10 you can play a flame tongue totem and then just basically just remove it for free and then get a full board again with all those totems that you killed on it. But I'm really excited about this card and getting a chance to see people experimenting with it and what we get from it. Really cool design. I like it. All right, Myaxna. 2/8 spider. Trump, thoughts?
This card is So the Boulder Fist Ogre pretty much kills whatever it hits.
Okay.
But when you hit the face with Boulder Fist Ogre, you have 4 more damage. And it comes only at the cost of 1 health.
Okay.
So when I started my free-to-play Rogue, I was thinking, do I want to run Myaxna, or do I want to run Boulder Fist Ogre? And I came to the conclusion that Boulder Fist Ogre was better, but I still put a Myaxna in there just in the initial part, because I was like, oh, maybe I'll see what it's like. It actually was not better than Boulder Fist Ogre. On the bright side, it is a beast, so maybe it sees play in Hunter, but I doubt it.
Yeah, Reyna, what do you think?
Completely agree with Trump and everything. Yeah, Boulder Fist is the last night on stream. It's the card I compared it to, and people asked me about it. Yeah, exactly what Trump said. It's a bad Boulder Fist Ogre because the attacks to the face just don't deal as much, and 6 damage will kill pretty much anything anyway. When this card was first spoiled, it cost 5 mana, which was very interesting. Because again, that was in that slot of creatures that we didn't have that many good options for before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just not good enough, unfortunately.
It would have been more interesting in the 5 slot with like a 2/7. And I don't know, maybe a priest makes it worthy because the text makes it a very defensive kind of card, right? Where you're just killing stuff. You're not really trying to remove it with your damage, and it doesn't even matter what the attack is in some ways. So keeping it alive seems to be the best way to get the most value from it. So outside of that, like even Hunter, like I just don't see it. Even getting a Howlmaster on it, I mean, that's probably your best case scenario, right? And
yeah, it's not even that good.
Yeah, it takes again, 10 mana to do that too.
Howlmaster on Snapjaw is the same thing. Also kills everything, and it's like Myaxna. People want to play it in Hunter, but you already have 2 high main. You don't really want more 6 drops than that. If you did, something like Cairn would be better. Boulder Fist would also be better.
Yeah, yeah, 5 would have been nice. Just making it even less, just the stats a little bit less. Okay, well, guys, we just got through all the cards, and definitely great analysis on all the cards. We're kind of running out of time, so let's do a few quick questions here, and we'll call it a day. See anything good here? All right, let me reload this, see what's at the top here. Okay. All right, Bee Chopper asks, everyone says Zoo will die out with all the cheap value taunts coming out, but Reynad, the grandmother of Zoo, says it will be the strongest deck. What is true? All right, Trump, I'll let you answer first, and then Reynad can, I guess, issue his rebuttal to the question.
All right. Zoo is one of those, when an expansion first comes out, like when the game was first released, Zoo was one of those decks where people were like, oh, okay, the Warlock ability is great. You draw a card each turn, and you've got some efficient minions, and you play them. It's almost always like the first default good deck, and even now it's still held its significance to this date. So in a similar way, there are a few excellent cards for Zoo in Naxxramas, and there are a few good counter cards, but Zoo is going to be strong, and I think it will continue to hold relevance. There are going to be some decks which are going to be made to defeat Zoo, and I think it's difficult to say without actually testing out the matchup, but I'm sure that it was obvious to anyone who's tested at Blizzard that Zoo is a serious deck, and that you're going to need to get some cards to counter it. We'll see if that works. That's pretty much it. But despite all that, I think Zoo will still be a force to be reckoned with.
Raynett, how big of a force will it be?
So metagames are self-correcting. So even if a deck was just far and away the best deck in a metagame, that doesn't necessarily mean it'll have the highest win percentage of anything. Because if people are used to seeing Zoo every other game, it's really going to warp how they build their non-Zoo decks. I think Zoo will be the strongest deck in a vacuum by far. And the first, right when Wing 4 comes out, that's the major wing for Zoo. That's when it gets its one drops. That's when it gets Echoing Ooze and stuff. Anyway, once Wing 4 comes out, that's when we'll really see just how strong it is. I think Priest will be the initial counter to it because it has Dark Cultist and 28 other cards. But other classes will then revolve around the whole Priest versus Zoo thing. So yeah, we'll see. I hope it'll be more than a two-deck metagame. I definitely think it will be. There's more options. There's lots of new cards to play with. There'll be a lot of cool things being discovered, I think. So
yeah,
we'll see. But I think Zoo will be the best deck in a vacuum, and I think that's definitely, I don't think it's debatable, but every time I say that, people still debate it. They're wrong, but they will.
They're wrong. All right, Tantrum Wright asked, how strong is Token Druid with the new cards such as Egg and Haunted Creeper and Poison Seeds? Who wants to take this? Trump, you want to take
it?
Just how strong is Token Druid now with the cards we've seen this week?
I haven't seen it on ladder.
Go ahead.
Most of the decks, including Token Druid, would be running that Creeper or Spider. I was thinking about decks that could take advantage of Egg, and I think Token Druid is actually not one of them, because you don't have that many ways to activate it. You've got Mark of the Wild, perhaps, which Token Druid doesn't really want to run, but you could just because the Egg's really good. You've got Mark of the Wild? And then Mark of Nature. Mark of Nature is the one that you almost certainly don't want to run. Mark of the Wild is one that you don't want to run, but could potentially be debatable just because Egg's really good. And then you've got Savage Roar, which you don't really want to run. You use just to activate the Egg, but you could. I don't think there's enough Egg activators, basically. So you've got the Creeper, and it's pretty good for Token Druid, as it is for most decks.
Poison Seed have any impact on Token?
I don't think so.
Raynett, what do you think? What you think?
I mean, I'll try them. They're probably not good enough, but the Spider's definitely good enough, right? Creeper's good enough. Echoing Ooze will be good enough once it comes out. Ruby and Egg, I agree with Trump. Takes a little too much work. You got like Power of the Wild, Defender of Argus. That's about it. Not very many great options, and you can keep her your own guy, I guess, but that's not great. Yeah, I think Token Druid is definitely an interesting deck to take a look at. It's definitely going to be good, and I'm excited to try it out. But I don't think Poison Seeds is the reason it would see success. It's more like Haunted Creeper, giving it a sticky 2-drop that you can actually play and have stay on the board. That would help it more than anything. So,
okay. Yeah. Let's see. Two more questions. Let's see. So one question for Trump. Will you do a new arena ranking for Nax cards? As an avid arena player, I'm interested in which are the best.
Yeah, I will.
That's an easy question. Maybe that doesn't count. Raynett, any plans on doing another Lord of the Arena tourney? I think it was pretty cool back then. Okay.
Yeah, we want to do that in August, ideally. It's some like production issue. I'm trying to have it not overlap with other tournaments.
August is busy, too.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I want to make it happen. I mean, September at the absolute latest.
Okay, yeah. Cool. And the last question about a deck. Okay, what does Raynett think about Kalento's Zoo version? It's the same as his, but replaced Shattered Sun Cleric with Void Terrors. I like the Void Terrors.
Oh, it's the 3/3 that eats guys on the side?
Yeah.
No, that's not right. You have to keep Shattered Sun. You cut the two Elven Archers I was playing, and you play two Hellfire. That's the best build. It's a better enabler for Nerubian Egg, and it beats the Mirror and Shaman.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
But, that's like a really lazy answer. Void Terror is a cool card. I think he's not wrong to play it. There's certainly going to be less things that... Uzu's not very all-in on Void Terror. It's definitely a really interesting card. Mm-hmm. I'd have to play with it more to see. But I think Hellfire is, like, really strong in Zoo right now, so that's what I'm playing. But
yeah, Hellfire. It brings me back to the days of like the Kiri, like Trump back in the Kiri Warlock days, where you're playing the Mirror matchup and you're running like one Hellfire or something just to kind of swing it your way. That's kind of cool. All right, well, that's going to be it, guys. Wrap the show. It's a long show today, but we had a lot of cards to go through. It was worth it, I think, just to go through the next cards. But Raynad, great to have you on the show again. It's always a pleasure getting a chance to talk cards and metagame with you.
Thanks for having me.
You want to do some shout-outs, thank yous, anything you want to do?
Yeah, shout-out to tempostorm.com because shameless advertising. And my teammates, Reckful was streaming today for like 11 hours. That was awesome to, you know, when he streams once a month, it's cool to see. Still gets a good amount of viewers. He's a really good player. We're going to have a bunch of new videos up for you guys with Naxx cards, decks, like cool things for you to try and ladder. And, you can find that on our YouTube or tempestorm.com or whatever. Shout out to, Hyped Guard, Tides, all those guys working hard on stuff. So,
Trump, shout outs?
Oh, shout out to my team, TSM. Yay.
Yeah.
The same.
That's it? Not even the sponsors or anything?
And make sure to check out their website, tsm.gg, where you can find all their sponsors, including HyperX, Alienware, and Logitech.
All right, there we go. And I'll just give a shout out to both of you guys for doing the show today. It's always a pleasure doing Valley Town with you guys. And thank all the viewers for checking it out, coming and watching. You can find the VODs, youtube.com/shamanv. Probably, I might not be able to get it up right after the show, guys, because I'm unfiltered in 30 minutes or 45 minutes. So I'll try to get it up by tonight, and you can always find all the VODs for Value Town or any of the shows, the other shows like Pro Corner, Deck Wars, whatever, that you might have missed. Find them there. Follow this channel if you enjoy this show or just anything else, any of the streams or any of that. That's always a great way to get notified. And follow us all on Twitter, @ChamMV. @TrumpSC and @AndreYanouk. That's going to be it for Value Town, guys, this week. So for Trump, Raynad, and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next time. Later.